VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And friends, we do thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk as we present issues that are so often swept under the carpet here, or not even there at all in mainstream media across this nation, but to keep you informed on critical matters. So much is happening in our nation in very short order. President Joe Biden has far surpassed his predecessors with executive orders and directives. Yes, even more so than former President Trump, who the secular left referred to him as being a dictator. Well, nonetheless, President Biden has issued orders on climate change, with a stroke of the pen has killed energy jobs, including the Keystone XL pipeline. Thousands of people impacted by that swiping of the pen across the paper there. Stopped additional leasing for oil, gas, and coal all over the nation. Has recommitted the U.S. to the Paris Climate Accord. Has reobligated the United Nations to the World Health Organization. And on the list goes. Well, here to address the common denominator to all of these issues, we welcome back Tom DeWeese, president of the American Policy Center. He's one of the nation's leading advocates of individual liberty, free enterprise, private property rights, personal privacy, back to basics, education, and American sovereignty and independence, and protecting our constitutionally guaranteed rights. He's author of Sustainable, The War on Free Enterprise, Private Property and Individuals, and Erase, a political novel. Tom, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
It's good to be with you, Jim. It's busy time.
It really is. And a number of actions were taken within hours of this new Biden administration, an administration in which he declared was going to unify our country. Senator Tom Brasso said, what we're seeing here is a Green New Deal basically dressed up in executive orders. Give us an overview, Tom, as to what's taking place in our nation in such short order.
Well, this isn't about unifying the nation. This is about subjugation. And, quite frankly, the reason that they were so anti-Trump is that he recognized what a lot of these programs were, and he was putting a stop to them or holds on them. And when they talk about the Great Reset and so forth, it's like, let's get things back online where it should be. And, the Green New Deal is, outlines it very perfectly. And I've said this many times, when they say the Green New Deal, they keep talking about, like, this is to protect the environment. And, I've been working on these things for 30 years and trying to explain to people this has nothing whatsoever to do with the environment. It has to do with control. And if you look at the Green New Deal, it's got four pillars to it. This is what they say. And, one of the pillars is an economic bill of rights. What does that have to do with the environment? It's about taking, you hear this all the time, an economic bill of rights demanding full employment, guaranteed living wage, Medicare for all, tuition-free education, affordable housing. Those are all the issues we've been hearing about for years. It has nothing to do with the environment. But one of the main things that they're talking about here, and I'm seeing this more and more come up, is what they call a transition period. And interestingly enough, as we've had these COVID lockdowns, and we've seen there's a real disparity between small mom-and-pop businesses in town that aren't allowed to even be open, or if they are, they can only have a few people in and so forth, hardly able to survive, and global corporations that are raking in more money than they've ever raked in before in their history. And I have talked for years about public-private partnerships between business and government. And this is not free enterprise. This is certain businesses that agree to go along with all of this. And if they do, they get to go to the front of the line for all the goodies, tax breaks. And sometimes they get privileges of the locations where they can put their business, that sort of thing. And what they do is they use their advertising budgets to spread the propaganda of these programs, so the government gets to hide behind that. That's the partnership there. And I just got, just a couple of days ago, from Reuters News Service, a thing talking about the change. They're having a big meeting, leading the charge at transformation or Transform USA 2021. And here it is. I mean, the laid out here, the corporations that are taking part in this. IKEA is one of them. Ben and Jerry's, General Motors, Kraft, all sitting there meeting, talking about how to transform away from free enterprise to a top-down global control. And these corporations are going along with that. And just look at the propaganda we've gotten from them, all going along with this COVID lockdown and never standing up against it and so forth. So this is what we're seeing, and those bills that you mentioned going through Congress and so forth, they're just piling it on. Mm-hmm. That's the plan.
You know, Tom, I'd like to hear an audio clip from President Biden last week, declared a day known as Climate Day, and made some interesting comments here. It's 2 minutes as a clip, but we're going to have you hear what he had to say and have you comment.
In my view, we've already waited too long to deal with this climate crisis. We can't wait any longer. We see it with our own eyes. We feel it. We know it in our bones. And it's time to act. And I might note parenthetically, if you notice the attitude of the American people toward greater impetus on focusing on climate change and doing something about it has increased across the board, Democrat, Republican, Independent. That's why I'm signing today an executive order to supercharge our administration's ambitious plan to confront the existential threat of climate change. And it is an existential threat. Last year, wildfires burned more than 5,000 acres in the West, as no one knows better than the vice president, former senator from California, an area roughly the size of the entire state of New Jersey. More intense and powerful hurricanes and tropical storms pummel states across the Gulf Coast and along the East Coast. I can testify to that from Delaware. Historic floods, severe droughts have ravaged the Midwest. More Americans see and feel the devastation in big cities, small towns, coastlines, and in farmlands, in red states and in blue states. And the Defense Department reported that climate change is a direct threat to more than two-thirds of the military's operational critical installations. Two-thirds. And so this could well be on the conservative side. And many climate and health calamities are colliding all at once. It's not just the pandemic that keeps people inside, it's poor air quality. Multiple studies have shown that air pollution is associated with an increased risk of death from COVID-19. And just like we need a unified national response to COVID-19, we desperately need a unified national response to the climate crisis, because there is a climate crisis.
Okay, there is a climate crisis. Okay, just as we had this unified, reaction and response to COVID, Tom, we need to have that same kind of response here to the climate crisis that we are in. And the fear is coming through here. You know, we've got to do this. We've got to do this. We've got all these devastating weather events happening across this nation.
Almost every single thing he mentioned as a crisis is caused by the environmental policies that they've put in place. The reason that we've had the forest fires burn hotter than ever before in history is because of the environmental policies the Forest Service uses that will not allow the removal of dead trees from the floor of the forest. And there is 10, 20 feet of kindling on the floor of the forest of dead trees, and that's why they burn hotter than ever before. We have these problems with water and drying up and so forth. The reason for that, they are removing dams all over the country, saying, "Oh, we got to let the rivers flow free." You know, it's really funny. And in the Emerald Valley in California, environmentalists over for years just salivated over getting control of the Emerald Valley. What they didn't understand, because they don't know anything about the environment, these environmentalists, if they'd step on the ground once in a while out of their high rises in New York, they might understand. The reason there was an Emerald Valley, it was a desert to begin with, it was because people built dams and and provided things that created the Emerald Valley. Here they are, climate crisis. They are creating it. And let me tell you something. When they get rid of fossil fuels, no longer have petroleum and so forth, now we're going to have a the ground is going to be covered for miles with solar panels and with the wind towers. And you won't have any birds flying because of them, and you won't have any open ground because of these solar panels. But what these fools don't understand is that the wind towers have to have oil in order to turn, and the solar panels are made from petroleum products. And on and on and on. There is not enough energy to provide the electric cars that they want to put in place, but the electric cars have to be charged by energy created by fossil fuels. On and on and on. This is not about protecting the environment. This is about destroying free enterprise and changing the world economy and getting rid of our liberties, our private property, our free enterprise system.
So let's talk about some of the actions taken last week. Executive orders here regarding the suspension of new oil and gas leases and permits. So what impact does that have?
Well, one of the main tenets of sustainable development, which is the program behind all this, is that we need to get gasoline costs up to at least $8 a gallon. Why? Because that'll get people to stop driving. That's the goal with that. And, of course, cutting the lease and so forth, everything they can do to cut the use of fossil fuels, the use of drilling petroleum and so forth, that all leads to that. And so that's one of the main things from that.
Keystone XL, I mean, with a swipe of the pen, Tom, thousands of jobs just killed.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's amazing, and what does John Kerry say about it? So, well, you can get a job making solar panels. These are people who have never run a business in their lives. Most of them have never had a job in their life. They know nothing about the economy and how it operates. They only know how to control it and destroy it. And to make flippant remarks like that about, well, just get a job doing this. Really? If it were that easy, why do we have unemployed people to begin with? And why do we have New York City, Los Angeles, San Francisco that are cesspools of people who are homeless, who have no jobs, who have no hope in their lives because of their programs, not because of the free enterprise?
I just marveled at these unions who all of a sudden their jobs are gone, and they say, how could they do that to us? You know, they endorsed him after knowing what he was going to do here. You've got the jobs lost. You've angered Canada to our north. And we also have UN Ambassador, the former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley, indicating, well, the halting of the Keystone Pipeline is good for Russia. I mean, those who are perhaps adversarial nations, they see this as being a good thing.
Well, one of the things behind all this, I talk about attacking free enterprise and national sovereignty. These are all tenets of Agenda 21 and of course, the Green New Deal as well. The idea of getting rid of nation states and everything is globally controlled. And one of the big ways of doing that, they looked at the United States with all this wealth, and they started this redistribution of wealth, these policies that take away our jobs, take away our money, and float them over to these other countries and so forth. And the idea is one big global control.
Tom DeWeese is with us today. He is president of American Policy Center. Folks, more information to come. Don't go away. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how long does it take to make oil?
Chris, oil is the altered remains of organic molecules. These are primarily hydrogen and carbon, and after death they can metamorphose into hydrocarbon oil. It doesn't take long. In fact, there are a number of ways to rapidly convert organic material into oil, but all of them are rather expensive and inefficient. However, if water is injected into the organic material, then the process is much more efficient and quick. This reminds me of the great flood of Noah's day when excessive heat and pressures combined with lots of waters to act on the abundant living things which were destroyed by the flood. Chris, it all fits. Even the difficult questions like the origin of oil can best be answered from a Back to Genesis perspective.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Tom DeWeese, our guest here today. He is president of American Policy Center. Their website is AmericanPolicy.org, AmericanPolicy.org. Tom, let's also talk about another action, and that is the rejoining of the Paris Climate Accord that President Trump pulled us out from. It is a treaty. Last Monday, John Kerry, he is President Biden's special presidential envoy for climate, spoke to this International Climate Adaptation Summit. Here's what he said last Monday, January 25th.
3 years ago, scientists gave us a pretty stark warning. They said we have 12 years within which to avoid the worst consequences of climate change. Now we have 9 years left, and I regret that my country has been absent for three of those years. President Biden has made fighting climate change a top priority of his administration. We have a president now, thank God, who leads, tells the truth, and is seized by this issue. We're proud to be back. We come back, I want you to know, with humility for the absence of the last 4 years, and we'll do everything in our power to make up for it.
Well, Mr. Kerry, it's wonderful to have you back. Thank you very much. And the world is grateful for the reinstatement of climate ambition from the USA.
I will call that the great apology. You know, we're sorry. We're coming back with humility. We've just abandoned this over these last 4 years here, and here we are. But we know we've got to take action because everything's going to be destroyed just, 8 or 9 years from now?
Yeah. They've been doing this 10- and 12-year prediction of every single disaster for about 30 years. It never, ever comes true. It doesn't happen. We were supposed to be, 10 years ago, we were supposed to now be out of not having any polar ice caps, and they'd all be melted and so forth. They are stronger today than ever before, more ice and so forth. This all goes with this great reset. And, as I said before, the reason that they hated Donald Trump so much, if Hillary Clinton had been elected in 2016, all this stuff would have been put in place quickly, without any question, and to their utter horror, he was stopping these things. And now you see the result of that. We're sorry. Oh, my gosh. We're so embarrassed about what this idiot did. That's our line.
Yeah, they're sorry and apologizing for this. But, Tom, under Donald Trump's presidency, we lowered carbon emissions more than any other nation, I understand.
Yeah, absolutely did. And the other thing that they don't seem to bring up here with this Paris Accord is China's exempt from it, as most environmental regulations or policies that come out of the United Nations. China is exempt from it. And so that tells you about everything you need to know.
Indeed. And I know, Tom, you're very concerned by China's increasing threat to our own sovereignty at the same time.
Absolutely. The attack on sovereignty, getting rid of nation states, as I said before, that everything's under global control. And how do you do that to a country that is based on the idea of private property ownership? And what China is doing is buying up American property by the thousands of acres. And it's horrendous to know how much land they own and control in this country. And they've even got whole colonies that have been set up in New York State. I wrote about this just recently. There is a China city up there. And, they are going to have offices there of every single China part of their bureaucracy, every agency of China operating there. And they had a public meeting one day, and somebody asked the question, will Americans be allowed to live here? And they stopped talking. All of a sudden they said, well, you can stay in our hotels and enjoy our amusement park in America.
My.
Americans aren't allowed to live there?
My. Tom, you know, the hypocrisy of those who are sounding the alarm on man-made global climate change is amazing. I mean, we understand several celebrities attended, performed at Joe Biden's inauguration, took their own private jets to get there. Further, Newsmax, I mean, we saw the story last week about John Kerry's private jet produced as much carbon emission the past year as 36 typical passenger cars would do in the same period.
Great
hypocrisy.
The total hypocrisy, because there's no truth to anything that they're saying. It is all based on fear to get us to be afraid. I've said this several times, that you know, we've always had a force in the world that wanted to control the world. And usually they bring in armies and break things and kill people and control. But they came up with a plan 30-some years ago that, you know, the idea of creating fear, getting people to voluntarily submit and give up their rights to this power without firing a shot, that has been their plan. And environmentalism, the threat that we won't have a planet to stand on, has been the most effective tool tyrants have ever come up with, and that is what they're implementing here, and you're seeing it in its raw power like never before.
And I'd like you to correlate some comments to, you mentioned the coronavirus a bit ago as well, and just hours ago I had received from one of our listeners an order that is coming out from Rock County, that's in the state of Wisconsin, and it's a Janesville area, and here there is a note signed to those who work at the Rock Haven Center. I believe that is a nursing home type situation here. And this memo goes out to all Rock Haven staff members, from Sarah Barron, the interim nursing home coordinator, saying that this the COVID-19 vaccination is mandatory for the staff. And they're saying that the completion of this two-step vaccine series is a requirement for all staff. Failure to meet these requirements will result in the employee being laid off, as described in Rock County Ordinance 18.613D. This is coming from and we understand that the employee groups are broken up. One dose had to go out January 5th, a second dose February 2, 2021, and yet and first dose tomorrow as well. Others have to get their second dose coming up here in March, but this mandatory order on an experimental emergency type of vaccination, Tom, and claiming unless you do this, you're going to be laid off.
You're hearing reports over and over and over again about how, well, even if you take the vaccine, you'll still have to wear the mask, and you won't be able to travel, and you won't be able to congregate with people, and so forth. So what's the vaccine doing? This is the fear. This is the control. The COVID situation has been, I have likened it to them playing with us like when you play with a mouse with a laser light. Let's see what we can make them do. How did they follow this too? And people are falling for it and subjecting themselves to all of this, and they're terrified. If businesses across the country would stand up and say no, they would stop. But businesses are afraid because they've threatened to take their business licenses away. They've threatened them with jail and so forth. And so everybody's subjugated to it, and they're saying, okay, well, we'll have to. They're promising us that soon we'll be out of this. You know, the fact of the matter is that Klaus Schwab, who's the head of the World Economic Forum, who wrote a book called COVID-19, The Great Reset, and he said, people keep asking, when are we going to go back to normal? The answer to that is never.
No more normal.
Yep.
There is no more normal. By the way, for those of you in Rock County, this is a Rock Haven nursing home in Wisconsin, and the administrator there is Josh Smith, whose number is 608-757-5540. And then also Sarah Barron, who issued this mandate, her number that she signed at the bottom of the memo is 608-757-5332. But they're taking COVID, Tom, as a means of saying, just as we did this with COVID, we need to also do this with declaring an emergency for climate change.
Yeah, that has been since April. I have been intercepting email correspondence from them and so forth, and they've been doing like Zoom meetings and that sort of thing with their people, training them to that exact thing. What we've learned from the COVID lockdown, now we're going to get into climate change because that's the crisis. That's the real crisis. And you're going to see your communities are going to be inundated with these NGO organizations and so forth that are pushing these policies and you know, getting climate change put in place. This has been an experiment, and they have found how far we will go to allow them to subjugate us to this stuff.
Everything has a reason for why they occur. For instance, Joe Biden took over the Oval Office. He removed the bust of Winston Churchill, replaced it with Cesar Chavez. This was more than just an interior decorating change, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. First of all, in his excuse was this would show his, accepting and supporting the working man, and so forth. That's the symbolism of it. But the fact of the matter is, as I just wrote recently, Cesar Chavez never worked in a field in his life. He was a pool room thug that was brought in and trained using the Saul Alinsky tactics for organizing. And what he did, and he put together the organization he put together, the workers thing, what they did was they intimidated workers in the fields. And he cost them, first of all, these were not migrant workers. The only migrant part about what they did was they went from farm to farm. After they harvested here, they went to the next one, to the next one. They lived in their homes. They had nice homes. These weren't people who were homeless or coming across the border or anything like that, but he called them migrant workers. And, this whole thing about the great boycott and the lettuce boycotts and all that sort of thing, all of it, and it was all designed to, destroy these industries.
Wow. Something else that we saw take place is a recommitment to the World Health Organization, Tom.
Well, there we go. Again, another thing that Trump did was get us out of there, and then isn't it interesting that as soon as he was gone, all of a sudden they came back and said, oh, we were mistaken about what's the drug that...
Oh, hydroxychloroquine.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, that's okay now. Yeah. It wasn't under Trump.
Right. Yeah. New science shows this. But, there is the United States has put a disproportionate amount of money into the World Health Organization. As you mentioned, former President Trump took us out of that, but President Biden's put us right back in.
Yeah, everything. That's what all these executive orders have been about, is to completely obliterate, completely wipe out anything that Trump accomplished and put it back in, where they meant for it to be 4 years ago to begin with. So that's what the whole thing's about.
Tom DeWeese is with us here today with the American Policy Center. Tom, we're going to be taking a break here in less than a minute, and we're going to look at some of the Biden nominees as well and some of their positions that they have taken. But before the break, just give us a word about American Policy Center and what you're doing.
Well, what we're doing is, we are promoters of private property, free enterprise, individual choice. That's what we do. And so here we are in the middle of all this. How do we fight back? We are doing a series of training webinars. We have put together a manual, a local activist training handbook, focusing on fighting back at the local level. This is where, and I'm seeing more and more groups come to the same conclusion, that fighting on the local level, your city council, your county commissions, and even your state legislatures, we have tremendous power there if we can control what happens there. We can stop them.
We'll be back in 1 minute. Tom DeWeese with us today. Their website, AmericanPolicy.org, AmericanPolicy.org. So what about some of these picks to be secretaries over various cabinet-level positions? Back with more information after the break here on Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
From Ray Comfort and Living Waters comes the dramatic film Audacity, tackling a very divisive issue today, homosexuality. Challenged by a co-worker to defend his convictions about homosexuality and same-sex marriage, Peter has to consider if he has the courage to stand for what he believes, even at the risk of losing a friendship. How will he respond when faced with a harrowing life or death experience? Audacity uses a unique approach to address a very contemporary issue and challenges the viewer to reach out and approach the greatest spiritual need everyone faces. Audacity is a 55-minute powerful dramatic film that will impact your life. Get your copy of Audacity for a donation of $5, or 5 copies for a donation of $18, 10 copies for $25 when you call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and yes, under President Biden, pursuing a very radical climate change agenda for the United States. It's going to impact this nation in so many different ways. And like we say, just with the stroke of the pen, thousands of jobs gone. Gone. And people are certainly upset. I've seen the videos. I saw one African-American just crying out and saying, how am I going to pay my mortgage now? How am I going to, I just bought a new vehicle. How am I, I'm going to have to sell it now in order to make it go. Taking it hard, and rightly so. Tom, I'd like to look at some of the Biden nominees. During the confirmation hearing on Capitol Hill, Biden's Commerce Secretary nominee, Gina Raimondo, she admitted that Democrats will have to raise taxes on all Americans, including the middle and lower class, just to pay for the climate agenda of President Biden. We have Pete Buttigieg as well, Transportation Secretary nominee, who also talked about Keystone XL pipeline and workers there. Well, they need to find another job. That echoes what we had from John Kerry, who just said make solar panels. And then there's Jennifer Granholm, the nominee for Energy Secretary, admitted jobs may need to be sacrificed to pursue Biden's climate agenda. There are a number of radicals that are being put into these positions.
Yeah. Tax them, sacrifice. As I said before, these are people who have never had to run a business and probably never had a regular job where they had to depend on that business being able to operate. All they know how to do is tax them, make them pay. We used to say that's the rip them off way. And this is what they do. And it's all from fear. It's all threats. And they destroy the economy, as they have with the COVID lockdowns. And are all these people who have lost their jobs, lost their businesses, but now we're going to tax them more. And, of course, what are they doing? They're also promising, this is all leading towards the idea of a universal income. And, of course, government-paid health care and all that sort of thing. And, you know, do they understand where the money comes from that goes into the federal government that they spend out? It comes from taxpayers. And if we can't have jobs, or we are taxed to death to where we no longer are able to do this, it all dries up. And that's exactly why socialism doesn't work.
Now, when you couple this with another prong that is coming here as well, Tom, that the calls are heightening for packing the court. So we have the former Attorney General Eric Holder urging Democrats now to pack the Supreme Court, to use the power of their new majority to pack the Supreme Court. And I know that is an existential threat.
Well, we are systematically destroying the judicial system in this country. And be able to get any kind of justice before a court of law is becoming less and less of an opportunity. And when that happens, then you're just a pawn. There's no way to fight back on it. And, you know, packing the court, of course, they want to get around. You know, Trump put enough people on the court to kind of turn it to a conservative court, although Justice Roberts is, we don't know what he is. I guess he's proved that. But, you know, that's their way to get around it, we'll just fix this. And they are relentless. They never stop. And one of the problems with the conservative side of things is, quite frankly, we don't like government. And so we don't want to really be involved in it. We will fight and get things, you know, okay, we'll get this done. We'll work on a campaign or something. And then when it's all over, we go home. if we get a president elected who's supposed to be our guy, well, we don't have to do anything anymore because, well, he's going to take care of it. Mm-hmm. We leave them alone on that stage. And meanwhile, the other side, one of the examples I use many times is Ronald Reagan beat Jimmy Carter 49 states to one.
Yes.
The Democrats didn't.
That was Walter Mondale.
Yeah, well, yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was, you know, they didn't say, well, that's over, we're going home. They dug in and said that'll never happen again. Mm-hmm. And they dug into the local communities and the state legislatures and the courts and everything else, and nothing was too small for them to focus on. And we just let it happen because we didn't want to deal with it.
Yeah. You know, something else that goes on is that this propaganda, and we know that the World Economic Forum is very much behind this Great Reset. They talk about this climate emergency that we're facing. And just a couple years ago at their meeting in Switzerland, they showed this Netflix documentary called Our Planet. And talk about, you know, they show these walruses falling off a cliff in Siberia to their deaths. And they were saying because of climate change, and you see these tragic walruses, you know, going over a cliff and falling to their death. Well, it's actually been found out, Tom, that it's polar bears that were coming up behind them. And they were fearful the polar bears. It wasn't climate change that they were falling to the death. It was that they were afraid of their predator.
Yeah, and then you've got the World Wildlife Fund, who continues to run these television ads about polar bears are diminishing, that their populations are going down because of climate change and so forth, which is an absolute lie. You know, there are, I don't know, there are 12 or 13 populations of polar bears in the world, and like 10 of them are increasing, growing. There is no danger to them becoming endangered and so forth, and you know, this is a lie they just keep telling, no matter what.
Friends, not only is that executive action going on, but legislative action as well. For instance, since this new Congress came about, there's House Resolution 29 supporting the teaching of climate change in schools. House Resolution 30 supporting the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. There's other things that are going on here too, Tom, as far as the legislative wing, which they're looking, hey, we're going to do this with a simple majority of 51 votes.
Yeah, the schools. This is one of the major places that we have left wide open, and they are using, and they are, can you imagine the mindset of people who are children in schools today and what they're going to be as they become adults who they know nothing about our history, they know nothing about our economics, they only know what has been pounded into their brains all that time in behavior modification programs, and you know, this is tragic. This is probably the number one issue of something we've got to focus on, is getting control of the education system one way or another.
Tom, is it too late? I mean, are you just sitting back and saying, well, there's nothing we can do, we have to wait until the next election?
No, absolutely not. I believe working on the local level, as I said, you know, getting control, I think the number one issue that we need to get control on, I just said education, but on a local level, is the control of the ballot box to make sure that we have fair and reliable elections. I believe we could wipe these people out at every level of government if we could get control of to make sure the elections are fair.
We better define your terms. What do you mean by wipe all these people out?
I mean, in elections, that we will beat them over and over again. These governors who have locked down their states, and you know, the governor of California, a million and a half signatures now to get him out of office.
Yeah.
That's a lot of angry people.
Yeah.
And you've got mayors, you've got governors, you've got city councilmen and so forth that have been putting these programs in place. People are furious over it. Their lives are being destroyed. We can beat them in an honest and fair election, and that is what we're working on, to train people how to operate in the local communities, how to organize, how to get campaigns together, and how to do this. And the number one thing I'm saying is, get control of your local Department of Education. I mean, not education, local Department of the ballot box.
Elections, and then
elections.
Yeah, and so, and then therefore you've got your city council members and your county board members and so forth, and these are critical positions that certainly your organization is looking at.
Yeah. And at our website at AmericanPolicy.org, we've got, so far we've done about 6 webinars. I've got several more coming up dealing with these issues. And we've got the workbook we put together, the local activist workbook. And that comes along with a toolkit on our website with more information and so forth. So we're beginning. What I've been advocating, that people make their own community, focus on your own community, and make it a freedom pod. Freedom pod means that in your community you are supporting local businesses, you are supporting property rights and keeping taxes down and so forth. There are a lot of things legally and legislatively we can do to stop a lot of these programs coming from the federal government. You can do it on the local level, and we're teaching that. You make your own community a freedom pod, then you can spread it to the next community and the next one, and it grows up to the state legislature, and we've got a series of bills and so forth there for that as well. And how to operate there. So.
Tom's website is AmericanPolicy.org, AmericanPolicy.org. Let's open some phone lines here today. Our number is 800-733-9829. Perhaps something that Tom has mentioned today is put a question in your mind that you'd like to ask today, 1-800-733-9829. But certainly we see the moratorium on drilling, the lease contracts. We see the rejoining of the World Health Organization, the Paris Climate Accord, on it goes. And Tom, I find it interesting that many of these pieces of climate change legislation are no longer going to need a price tag to them because of the rule change that happened under the pay-as-you-go rule, that any government spending proposal must be accompanied by tax increase or separate cuts, and they found a way to circumvent this as well.
They circumvent everything if it gets in their way. I'm sure you've heard of H.R. 1, the first
Yes.
bill they put into this Congress. And this takes all of the things they use to create the vote fraud and make it all legal. So.
Let's go to the phone lines. They're packed already. Let's begin with Lori in the state of Michigan. Lori, you're on the air.
Hi, really quick. I was just going to say that I was reading the Bible somewhere, and it said that God would come back and he would pour his wrath out on those who destroyed the earth. And I thought, well, we know who's destroying it. It's not us. I mean, we're not the ones flying around in these great big jets and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But another thing, now, as far as the batteries are concerned on the solar panels, don't they have acid in the batteries? And isn't that a big factor? And the disposal, I can take the answers off the air. The disposal of those great big windmills, aren't they having a problem with that?
Yes.
Those are the things I just wanted to mention, the three things.
Thank you, Lori. Tom.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I mean, literally everything that has to do with solar and wind damages the environment. And getting the batteries for the electric cars is, I think, is what she's referring to. And what they destroy land getting those out of the earth, so forth. I don't know all the details to it, but it's these are all things that destroy the environment. And I've been reading lately that the electric cars are putting out more pollution in their own way because of that kind of thing than our regular cars do.
I understand, Tom, they're even talking about these wind turbine graveyards are causing a stir. I mean, these turbine blades that can't be recycled, so they're piling up in landfills?
Yeah, that's happening as well. And you just drive by. Everywhere I've gone, in fact, I was in Wisconsin several years ago, and I had some people taking me around and showing me the wind turbines and so forth. And every time we got up to another group of these, I'd say, and how much electricity do these produce? And they go, nothing. Five or six percent of the oil, of the energy, they kind of bring in. And what we're going to see when all of this is put in place and all the fossil fuels are gone and petroleum's gone, we're going to see curfews on electricity overnight and so forth.
We're going to take a quick break here. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Our guest today, Tom DeWeese. His website is AmericanPolicy.org. Back in a minute.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. Monday, January 25th, 2021, kicked off the Great Global Reset Conference of the World Economic Forum. And true to form, they're calling for global governance, digital economy, social credit scores, banks and investment firms to align their portfolios against the free market system and for climate change and radical environmentalism. Well, we also heard at this conference from the UN Secretary General. He used to be the president of the Socialist International Party, so you know what you're going to get there. And the president of the World Economic Forum, well, he used to be in charge of the Sustainable Development Goals for the United Nations, which is, among many things, just international socialism. So, my friends, they needed to move out a president that was opposed to globalism as they bring down America to bring down the other Western worlds for the Great Reset.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Tom DeWeese, our guest here today, his website, AmericanPolicy.org. We're going right back to the phone lines. Monroe, Wisconsin. Mark, you're on the air.
Yes, it's interesting to me that Joe Biden's previous and or current boss, Barack Hussein Obama, let everybody know that he had a pen and a phone anytime he wanted to change U.S. policy. Now you have incoherent Joe Biden on steroids, in my opinion, undermining U.S. policy in favor of globalism with all of his executive orders. Bottom line, it's not just the Great Reset, it's the Great Setup.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. And Tom, comment on this, because, I mean, we had the leftists that were saying President Trump was a dictator. Look at all these orders. Yet Joe Biden has surpassed executive orders in his first less than 2 weeks in office than President Trump had.
Yeah. What you'll notice as you watch these people and how they operate is that they will blame their opposition for anything they're actually doing themselves, whatever they do. And you can almost take it and just reverse it back, and you'll know the truth. And, they are. The Great Reset is a great setup. And they will just lie and just tell you anything to get you to, submit to what they're doing.
Angie is next in Kansas. Angie, you're on the air.
Hi, I have a question about the climate change. So John Kerry goes back and says, oh, we apologize, we've missed the last three years of the 12 years, and we only have 9 years. But never once does he list what those other countries who've been in the Paris Climate Agreement have done in those 3 years since America has been absent from them. How do we get that out to the media?
Good point.
Good point. And, the fact of the matter is this is all set up to target the United States. We are the number one free enterprise country in the world. We are the ones that are bucking as much of this as we possibly can. We've got to get the United States to submit, because it's not about protecting the environment. It is about changing the world order and our system of how government operates and what government is. So that's what it's about. And as long as you keep that in your mind, every time you hear him say climate change, you understand it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with changing our system of government, our way of life, and in implementing this globalism.
Thank you, Angie. We're going next to Pasco, Washington. Juan, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. I'm listening to your program right now. Thank you. I'm a born-again Christian. I am a conservative now, pro-life. And I was listening to Tom. I'd like to know where he got his information. Cesar Chavez was a childhood hero of mine. My brother was a union organizer for the United Farm Workers Union. I'm hoping that you're wrong. I knew that he had ties to Saul Alinsky. And like I said, I'm hoping you're wrong, because he was a childhood hero of mine.
Mm-hmm. I got that information back in the 1970s because I debated Dolores Huerta, who was his vice president. I attended a speech that Chavez gave at Ohio State University, and there both of them were talking about how the it was all about the grape boycott and the wine boycott, and Chavez told this whole story about how the farm owners were eliminating jobs for the workers by bringing in machines that would come in, and Chavez told the story about how it was a great big vacuum that would come in and suck all the grapes off the vines, but it would also suck in the spiders and the rabbits and snakes and other things, and that would go into making the wine and so forth. Dolores Huerta told the same story, only hers was a giant picker. And I said to her during the debate, you guys ought to get your lies straight and make sure you're telling the same lie. And this is what they would do. And there's a guy named I can't remember his name now. He wrote a book all the study on Cesar Chavez and his history and where he came from. But Chavez never worked in a field ever. And
you know that for a fact, sir?
Yes, I do.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah,
thank
and Tom does have an article on the site on this issue just put out January 28th called Lies, Rewritten History, and a Bust in the Oval Office.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for the show.
Sure.
Thank you for the call here today. Let's see. Antoinette in Nisita, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just want to add something to the climate crisis. I don't know that it is just forest management failures. You know, they're under the Freedom of Information Act for 70 years. 70 years. The government has been messing with our weather, feeding these clouds. They can control where it rains. Why is nobody addressing this?
Tom?
I'm sorry, I couldn't understand.
She's referring to geoengineering. She's saying that the government's been doing, in essence, geoengineering.
Yeah, they have. I've been seeing many cases of that. This is one reason why I will not take the COVID vaccine, for what I've been hearing about what they're doing with that.
Thank you, Antoinette. We've got Gloria in Minnesota. You're on the air. Hello, Gloria.
Oh, hello. I'm calling just to add my 2 cents worth. Thank you for taking my call, Jim. I grew up on a farm, small farm. Our farm was well-groomed. We burned wood for heat. The ashes went into the ground as part of the fertilizer. And now I live in what's called a bedroom town because all the employment is in the metro area. So thousands of people that are going to not be able to get to work if they're going to have to pay $8 or more gas and be taxed besides for, you know, doing this. And that taxes reminds me of our stimulus check. I hear we're going to have to pay that back. I'm just wondering about all this.
Yeah, I don't know of any means to mandate a payback of the stimulus check, but the tax aspect is very much realistic, and I know Pete Buttigieg, as secretary nominee for the Department of Transportation, he is saying, yeah, we're going to have to raise the federal tax.
Well, one of the things this is driving is getting people out of the more rural areas and into the cities. And, you know, cutting off your ability to drive and have your own transportation and so forth. Farmers are being massively affected by this. We were losing thousands of them. And getting them all into the cities, easier to control.
And, folks, it's all by design. And check back. Do a search on Tom DeWeese on the Crosstalk website. And we've done full programs on that very aspect. All part of Agenda 21. All part of Agenda 2030. AmericanPolicy.org is a website. Tom, thanks for being with us today.
Hey, my pleasure, Jim. Thank you.
And thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.